Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Oh, Father, we thank you for your presence in our life. We thank you that when we walk with you, darkness trembles. In a world today that's trembling in fear, we serve a God that the darkness trembles in his presence. We serve a God that silences the voice of fear in our life. And Lord, we come into your presence today and we look to you. All the many voices around us screaming fear, screaming anxiety, you truly are an ever-present help in times of trouble. Holy Spirit, I thank you for moving in every heart and in every life today to do something amazing that only you can do, because you truly are an anchor to our soul in a world that is completely in chaos. We walk by faith and not by sight, and we please you because you are God and we love you. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. I know it's not the normal way that we meet. We normally, of course, get together in person, and that day's coming back, but for now, it's not so much important as to where you are. It's more important that how do you respond right now to God in the middle of everything we're facing? I want to help you do that today. In fact, the title today is pretty simple. It's this: how to have faith in God and listen, and how to thrive in a time of crisis. We aren't people that go into the caves and survive. That's not our calling. We aren't going to just disappear and say, let's just hunker down and hope and maybe somehow we can come out of this. Not at all. As believers, no matter what's happening around us, no matter what things we're being required to do, that's not our hope. So I don't want you just to understand how to trust God to get through it. I want you to walk by faith in such a way that you have an expectation to thrive in the middle of a crisis. Because that's exactly what God's called us to do. You remember this. The safest place for you to be in a time of crisis is right in the middle of God's will for your life. The safest place for you to be in your life in a time of crisis is right in the middle of the will of God and right in the middle of believing and acting upon what God says about you. Remember this. Faith in God is never passive. It always, 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 always requires an action. Faith isn't what you do in the moment. It's a lifestyle. Faith isn't a weekend service. Faith isn't something you do once in a while. Faith in God is an absolute lifestyle. You know, about 28 years ago plus, Michelle and I were living in South Africa, and we were missionaries there. And South Africa at that time had not yet fully come out of apartheid and at all, really, and it was in the middle of what would basically be called somewhat of a civil war. And the date I'm going to mention to you now is really not a date that's going to mean much to you as an American, but if you were a South African, this is a date you'd remember. And it was June 17th, 1992, something called the Boyapetong Massacre. Michelle and I were on a Sunday morning on our way to speak at a church. Now, you have to remember, this is before the time of cell phones and internet. And in fact, the home that we were staying in, we had a phone, but really there was no form of communication where we were staying. And so what happened, though, in the middle of that night is that one of the political factions in South Africa came into the camp of another political faction in the Boyapetong area. It's a place right outside of Johannesburg. And they came and they slaughtered people through the middle of the night. They killed women and children, and 40 plus people were murdered. Many were injured. Well, people were awoken to this issue, right? I mean, it was absolute bedlam. And it didn't take long before basically a small war broke out. And there were things were being lit on fire, and it was utter chaos. Now, Michelle and I had no idea this was happening. And the directions that the pastor had given us, and we had them on a handwritten thing. This is no GPS, guys, okay? At all. And we're following the map, and we drive into smoke, where literally you can barely see past the front of your car. And we couldn't figure it out, but so we, and I couldn't figure out the map, so I stopped the car. And while I'm stopped, we hear automatic gunfire, or semi-automatic gunfire. And I don't mean in the distance. I mean, it was very close. And it was, you know, it's maybe 8:30 or so in the morning. And I'm thinking, what is this? We had no idea what was going on. And we were sitting in the middle of it with the car stopped. We finally showed up at the church. And something very interesting had occurred. The entire congregation was not in the building. They were on the outside of the building waiting for us. 300 or 400 people had gathered outside the building because they knew what was going on. They had sent police that actually were a part of the church along the route to go look for us. Because the pastor knew that in that environment, the likelihood of us not being injured or certainly killed was pretty low. And they were praying for us. I'll never forget when we pulled up and we saw that sight. We have no idea what's going on. The pastor was leaning against kind of a pillar on that church. And when he saw us get out of the car and it knew it was us, literally his knees kind of buckled. And he was so grateful. Oh, John. And then he told us what happened. Then I told him where we had stopped to figure out our map. And again, his knees kind of buckled. And he looked Michelle and I right in the eyes and he said, "There is no way right now that you two should be alive. God has been so good to you." Let me tell you a backstory to that. We got a letter a while later from a person who was given to prayer in the church I went to. And she asked this question, what was going on? And she mentioned that time. She said, "I was awoken to pray for you at about 2 in the morning." And literally with the time change, God woke her up to pray for us. Right as we drove into the middle of what was from their view, certainly a certain death. You see, I can't control the environment that I always walk into, but I can trust God and I can walk with God. We were in the will of God for our life. I'm telling you, the safest place you can be in your life in any time, but certainly a time of crisis, is right in the middle of God's will, right in the middle of obeying, believing, and doing what His Word says. Now, I can't prove this to you, but I'm pretty certain by studying the Bible that our angels went to work that night. Do you know that there's angelic host right now that can work on your behalf if you walk in faith and not fear? You see, our decision right now in this crisis is what's going to set the future for us. You know, the Apostle Paul had to have such faith in a time of unimaginable crisis. I want to walk you through what he did, because in this testimony of his life is such a clear roadmap. What do you do when you step into a time of crisis? And in Paul's case, it was utter hopelessness. And I want you to see what happens in the life of a person who walks by faith and not by sight. Paul had come under very difficult conditions. He had been arrested for his faith and actually was being put on trial. Now, Paul was also a Roman citizen. And he knew that it was just basically false accusations. So he availed all of his rights as a Roman citizen, and then he appealed to Caesar. And as a Roman citizen, he had every right to do that. So they were transporting him from the area of the Middle East, Jerusalem and that arena, all the way up to Rome as a Roman citizen to stand trial. While he was on the way, there was a king, King Agrippa, who had found out about what was happening to Paul, and he just had an interest for his own sport. It had nothing to do with him having anything to do with the case, and so he wanted to hear Paul's case. So they put him in front of King Agrippa, and there's a great crowd. Agrippa was thinking he was about to get a bit of entertainment. The king, basically, "I want to hear the story of this man that's been known to do all these things, and this man that used to be a servant of Judaism and now a servant of Jesus." Agrippa just was using Paul. But let me tell you what Paul never thought of. He couldn't care less what the king wanted. He couldn't care less what the circumstance was. Paul said, "I'm using this opportunity to preach." And he shared his testimony, and it's in the Bible. Actually, the narrative is written in the book of Acts. It was so compelling that King Agrippa interrupted him, and he said, "Paul, you're almost persuading me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "Not just you, king, but everybody here. I want everybody in the world to be just like I am right now, except that I'm in chains or I'm under arrest. Other than that, that's what I'm here to do." And Paul was very clear about that. I want you to see that it didn't change who he was, even though he was under arrest, he was under guard and being transported to Rome. But it gets worse. Now they're traveling by boat, and the season of the year when you should be on the seas is ending, and it becomes very dangerous when it becomes winter. And so they're able to make great gains, and finally they think, well, we can make it to Rome, but now they hit really rough seas. And they're driven from those rough seas, and they're driven into a place called Fair Havens. And they're in this port town called Fair Havens, and while in Fair Havens, the owner of the ship and the captain are deciding, should we winter here in Fair Havens, or should we press ahead to a town called Phoenix? And it would be safer to winter there and the conditions better. And just, you know, being from Western Pennsylvania, I think wintering in a place called Fair Havens or Phoenix sounds really good. But they were making that decision. And that decision was going to put Paul in a circumstance that he had no control over. Listen, what's happening in our world right now, you have no control over it. You have no control over what is said, what's done, but what you have utter control of is what you do with God in the middle of it. And I want to show you exactly what happened when the Apostle Paul walked through the impossible of an impossible crisis and came out on the other side, not just surviving, but thriving. It's an amazing God that we serve. Let me take you to where they're about to decide whether we leave Fair Havens and go to Phoenix. It's Acts chapter 27 and verse 9. Now, when much time had gone, and sailing had now become dangerous because the Day of Atonement was already over. That was speaking to a season, a time of the year when that would have occurred. And Paul advised them. Now, remember, he's a prisoner on the ship. Paul said, "Men, I perceive that this voyage to Phoenix will end with disaster and great loss, not only to the cargo and to the ship, but also of our very lives." However, the Bible says this, the centurion, that Roman soldier guarding Paul, was much more persuaded by and believed the captain of the ship and the owner of the ship much more than the things that were spoken by the apostle Paul. What are you going to believe, and who is going to persuade you in a time of crisis? The apostle Paul had insight. The Bible didn't say God spoke to him, but can I tell you, as a believer, you have a whole nother realm of information from which to live from. You have a whole nother source from which to hear from. Paul said, "I perceive," because you understand, when you became a child of God, the Holy Spirit made his home in you. God living in you, you became the temple of the living God. And Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of Paul, gave him a perception, a witness, this is going to be bad. And Paul very clearly said, "I just sense this is, don't do it." But they made a choice to believe the expert. They made a choice to believe the owner of the ship. It was a bad choice. Because remember this in this world, that you gain information from two sources, your senses and then what God says. Your senses produce either a happy time or a fearful time. Right now we're in a fearful time. Governments, state governments across our nation are doing things that are draconian in measure to try to reduce people being infected with this virus. I can't tell you if they're all good decisions or not. I don't know. But I do know this, that at the end of the day, people are being driven to a place of fear and terror. And you say, well, that's what they should be. Maybe according to the circumstances, maybe so. But as a child of God, listen to me. You don't have to live from the resource of this earth only. Sometimes this world has no answers, and they're doing their best. But you have a whole other realm from which to live, from which to believe, from which to act, from which to govern the way you think and live. We get to choose as Christians, choose who's going to govern our life. We get to choose who we're going to believe in a time of crisis. And I want to help you understand that this is a practical thing that you have to do in your everyday life. Years ago, when September 11th happened, 2001, boy, the world changed that day. And if you were old enough to remember it, everybody remembers exactly where they were and how paralyzing, it just felt paralyzing. That beautiful Tuesday morning turned into an unimaginable nightmare for a nation and certainly for the people who had been murdered that day. And now The world is in utter chaos. That Sunday when I got up to speak, I did my best to encourage people, but back then we were about to move from another building. Actually, we weren't even ready to move. We were buying property. And our church was about to step into making commitments to give into a project. And that project was the place, the campus we have right now. We were on the other side of Cranberry Township at that time, and a 15,000 square foot building that we had so outgrown. And I had call after call after call after call after call after call. And they said, well, you're not going to go forward with this project now, are you? You're not going to, your church is not going to do this. You can't do it now. And I remember standing up on that weekend and subsequent weekend saying this: I can't control what's happening in our nation right now, but let me tell you one thing. The day I let a demon-possessed terrorist who's now in hell direct the kingdom of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom he said the gates of hell will not prevail against, is the day you put me in a coffin. We will build the building. We will first buy the land. We will develop the land. We will build the building. We will reach people for Christ, and we will not bow our knee to anything other than the will of God. Jesus gave his blood for people. I'm going to bow my knee to the one who loves humans. And can I tell you, our church during that season, we actually thrived as a church. And I don't mean it was perfect. I mean, we went forward. And today we're living in the consequence of the decision to either be governed by faith or to be governed completely by fear. And I want to help you to do that as well. I want you to understand right now, Victory Family Church, during this crisis, is not doing less ministry. We're actually doing more ministry. Just like Paul, when he was in the middle of being, he was a prisoner. He had his opportunity, and buddy, he used it. He almost converted the king to become a Christian. This is the brightest moment for God's people. Those who live in the light do not have to be fearful of the dark. And I want you to understand what's happening right now in the church here at Victory. Every family in our church, all 2,500 families that either consider Victory their members here or their regular attenders, we have personally contacted through our leaders in our church all 2,500 families. Seniors in our church have been identified and they're being served because they have food and they're being quarantined. And so we're serving seniors right now. Thursday night of this past week, we did a virtual town hall where a physician from our church and a psychologist from our church joined me together, and we approached this issue to give people information. We have an entire YouTube channel that exists. In our YouTube channel, we've put 5 separate videos on specific things that deal with the coronavirus. One of them that people seem to be really interested in is the coronavirus a sign of the end times? And another one, did this come from God? We answer that. And then Michelle and I every day, either me or Michelle or both of us, are putting a video through all of our social media platforms. This would be a great time to like our Facebooks, both mine and Michelle's personally, as well as the churches and in our Instagrams, so that you're able to be fed every day from God's word to have a spirit of faith in troubled times. But what can you do? You say, Pastor John, I'm kind of, you know, my kids are at home or whatever, I'm limited, what can I do? One thing you can do is be a voice of faith to a world that is absolutely in the dark. You could take every one of these resources and share them with people and keep pointing people to the God who loves human beings and that nothing's impossible with him. This past week and maybe weeks to come, Victory Family Church is serving Newcastle. The Newcastle campus is not meeting either, but we're serving that city. I want you to see a brief video of what we're doing right now in the middle of this crisis, because we don't go backwards as God's people. Take a look at this video. I want you to see what we're doing right now in the city of Newcastle.
We're out here at the Newcastle High School, and we're serving a hot meal to the community. And we're going to be doing that here in Newcastle for the foreseeable future on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
In the city of Newcastle, all of our children get free lunches because of the low socioeconomic. As a school district, we are able to provide breakfast and lunch. Mm-hmm. At the end of lunch, we have no idea where our children would go without Victory Family and and other community organizations helping us out and being able to feed our community the 3 meals a day that we worry so much that they will not get on the bus. I know from the bottom of my heart that what you're doing for us will make a difference and impact so many lives. Thank you so very much.
You know, Victory Family Church right now is doing ministry really in an unprecedented way. When everyone else is thinking in terms of sheltering, other than the medical profession, God's people need to be thinking, how do we bring light to a very, very dark situation? And there's so much need right now in the city of Newcastle. We're doing things in the Cranberry area and surrounding area as well. But we're making certain that these students, these kids who otherwise, sincerely, listen, will not eat, are going to be fed. And we're doing that because that's what believers do. Remember this, faith in God is never passive. I want to say it again. It's never passive. It always requires an action. Faith in God is not a moment, but it's an absolute lifestyle. I want to take you back to the life of Paul. They're now about to board the ship because they didn't believe what Paul said. And who would believe the prisoner, right? What prisoner wants to go to trial? So they said, we don't believe you, Paul. We're going to believe the owner of the ship and the captain of the ship, because last time we checked, you really don't know much about navigating the seas. But they should have listened to Paul, because now they're about to face what turns out to be a deadly storm. And that's exactly a parallel to what we face today in this nation and in the world. With this pandemic of the virus, we're being told some of the most remarkable statistics that whether they're accurate or not, whether they're for the right motive or not, that are striking fear so deeply into the hearts of people. Let me take you into what happened to Paul. And when you see how he responded to these events and how God's called you to respond, it's going to change everything for you. Acts 27, verse 15 said, and then the wind carried the ship away, and we couldn't sail against the wind. We couldn't do anything. Boy, that's sometimes how it feels, isn't it? And then we were carried along by the wind as we drifted and to the sheltered side of a small island called Clauda. We barely got control of the ship's lifeboat. Then in verse 18, we continued to be tossed so violently by this storm that the next day the men began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, they threw away all the ship's equipment. Here's a question for you right now in the middle of this tragedy, right in the middle of this crisis. What's carrying you away? What's driving you right now as a child of God? What a value are you throwing overboard right now in your life? Are you going to be caught and driven by this crisis and circumstance? Or are you going to learn how to do what we're going to see Paul do in just a moment, in the middle of impossibility? Honor God, obey God, and be led by God. Because you remember this, faith in God is never passive. It's not some unknown kind of ethereal thing that sits out there in the world. It is always active. It's never, ever, ever passive. That's why on Tuesday night this week at 6 o'clock, I'm asking every one of you to gather your families together, those with whom you live. And I want to do a prayer meeting. Michelle and I are going to come to every one of your houses on Tuesday night. Now, obviously we can't come in person, but we're going to do a virtual prayer meeting, just Michelle and I with you, whether you're there alone or whether you're there with your family, whomever. Let me help you understand what that's going to look like. We're going to talk to you as if it were just Michelle and I sitting in your living room with your entire family. Everything we say is going to be relatable from 8 years old to 80 years old. And I'm going to speak, Michelle and I are going to speak our heart, and we're going to put faith in your heart. We're going to help you to connect to the God that loves you, that nothing takes him off guard. And then we're going to pray over you. We're going to make declarations of faith over you. So you set that in your calendar right now. Point people to this prayer meeting. And I believe with all my heart that the God we serve is more than enough. So you make sure Tuesday night this week, 6 o'clock, that's available for you. I pray you take full advantage of it. You know, the other side of this is that faith isn't just a moment. It really is a lifestyle. So let me ask you, what are you saying right now about your health? What are you saying right now about your finances? Does it agree with the driving force of fear, or does it agree with an ever-present God in times of trouble? What are you actually saying? Not faith in a basket or in a moment, but what are you actually, your vernacular, your everyday speech, your thoughts, what are you letting your mind rest upon? Yeah, but this is bad, and this is bad, and this is going to impact us negatively. And you'll start to run that thing out, and you'll run your ship aground before anything happens. You're going to have to decide what you're going to throw overboard in your life. You're going to have to decide if you're going to be caught and driven by the storm or led by God. It's so important to ask the simple question, what actions am I taking? Not disobeying, you know, the social distancing and wash your hands and all that. And by the way, when this is over, please continue to wash your hands. But here, listen, what actions are you taking that you're not letting this fear create in your life and drive you? Here's a great question. What have you stopped doing because of this? Not the natural things that we need to be, you know, cautious about. Has this crisis changed the way you live your life and steward your life before God? Has God and what he's called you to do as a person changed because of this environment? Are you stewarding your time and your talent and your treasure in a way that is unchanged? Those are all questions that only I can answer, only you can answer. Because the fact of it is this, is that we're right now in a time of crisis that is, in a sense, there aren't a lot of solutions. And the solutions possibly can have as much damage as the crisis. So what did Paul do when the crisis became utterly hopeless? And it did. And his situation was more hopeless than this. Much, much more hopeless. Let me take you into that moment. In Acts 27, verse 20, the Bible said, for a number of days, they couldn't see the sun or the stars. That means the storm is on day after day after day. And the storm would not let up. That's what it feels like, doesn't it? This thing just won't let up. It was so severe. Now listen to these words. All hope that we should be saved was taken away, and we finally just gave up. All hope gone. And people give up when they become hopeless. They really do. When the storms of life don't let up, people without faith in God, they give in to fear. They give up because this world has no solution. You have to ask the question that Paul answered, and you're going to see his answer in a moment. Who and what you will believe in a time of hopelessness and crisis, listen to me please, is going to determine your outcome. Not, quote, the sovereignty of God. Somehow God will show up like a magic genie. No, that's not how this works. We choose to yield to God and receive his grace and power, or we choose to yield to fear, and it becomes the governance. It becomes that which directs our lives. I want you to see what Paul did when he turned a hopeless situation, all hope gone. That means they're done. They're going to die. And I want you to see what a man or a woman of faith does. When everyone else is running, everyone else is saying it's over, look what Paul did. And this is what we're called to do in our circumstance. Acts chapter 27 and verse 21 says this. But after no one had eaten for a very long time, then Paul stood up in the midst of them and he said, men, you should have listened to me. All of a sudden, the prisoner's flipping the scene. And everybody remembers what he said. And he started by saying, listen, I have another place of resource. I have another source of information that you did not have. You should have listened to me and not sailed and incurred this disaster and this loss. And now I urge you to take heart and listen to what he's about to say. For there will be no loss of life among you. Remember, this is hopeless. They know they're going to die. They didn't believe Paul before. These are ship people. They live on the seas. It's over. We're dead. And now the circumstances are pointing to certain death. And Paul said, let me tell you another resource that you don't know about. He said, there will be no loss of life among you, but we will lose the ship. And then he tells them where this came from. For there stood by me this night, the angel of God to whom I belong and the God to whom I serve. And here's what he said. Don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. And Paul said these amazing words in a hopeless situation. So I'm telling you, he said, therefore, because of what God said, you be of good cheer, for I believe God. Listen to this. Be of good cheer, for I believe God. Now remember, the seed didn't stop. The death, certain death, did not go away. This is happening right around him at the moment. And he said, you can despair if you choose to, but I'm telling you, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it is going to be exactly as it was told to me. Paul tells you, before he told them what the angel said, he told them why the angel said it. He said, listen, listen, I belong to God. Do you know that Jesus purchased you? Do you know that you are God's very own possession? Are you aware that you belong to heaven? And God knows how to take care of what belongs to him? He said, and because I belong to God, I serve my God. And the God I serve sent an angel, and he spoke to me. Now, listen, the angel didn't calm the storm. The angel gave him God's word in the middle of the storm. And he said, Paul, I've given you your life, and I'm going to save, God, the Father, he's saving your life. But Paul, he's also going to save the lives of everybody around you. There are a lot of people sailing in life with all of us as Christians. And I want to encourage you right now that you can be like Paul. You can help rescue their lives as well, or you can hunker down and let fear be your God. You weren't called to live that way. You weren't made to live that way. Your DNA as a Christian is not built to live that way. And remember this, the one in the light ends up leading. The one in the light ends up being the leader. Paul, who was a prisoner they wouldn't listen to, now when he has light from God and a word from God and faith in the God who gave him the word, all of a sudden, Paul becomes the leader. Look at Acts 27:33. As the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. Now, this is how long it's been going on, that we have waited and continued without food, and we have eaten nothing. So I tell you, urge you, take nourishment right now for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. When he had said all these things, he took the bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. I love that it says that. He didn't say he did it over in the corner. Paul's the leader, buddy. He said, we're eating now. Get the food out. And we're all going to eat right now. And he didn't just say, eat up, boys and girls. No girls on the ship. But he said, we're going to pray. He broke that bread. He began to give thanks to God. He began to worship God. Incredible. And when he had broken it to eat, then everyone was encouraged and began to eat. I want you to understand something. These are not Christians aboard the ship. Most of them may not even know the name of Jesus, but can I tell you, everybody prayed with Paul. Everybody obeyed Paul, and everybody lived, because it goes on to say in verse 44 of Acts 27, everyone then escaped safely to the shore. Remember, faith in God, it's never passive. It always requires action. Faith is not a moment, it's a lifestyle. I want your heart to grasp this. I want you to realize that right now, you can be the leader and not the follower, no matter what's happening around us. Right now, you can trust God. You can begin to say what God says about you. You can do exactly what Paul said. And I love these words that he said. Be of good cheer, for it shall be even as it was told me. You get a choice and I get a choice. To whom will you believe? What will you believe? Who's going to govern your life right now? Are you going to say, I believe God. I will be exactly what his word has said over my life. Let God be true and every man a liar. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Every tongue rising up against me in judgment will be proven to be in the wrong. I dwell in the presence of my God. I want you to worship with me. I want you to sing this song as we raise a hallelujah. Listen, in the presence of our enemy. God didn't stop the storm when the angel came. He gave him a word to believe, and the word he believed brought rescue to them all. We're going to raise a hallelujah right now in the presence of our enemy. We're going to rejoice and we're going to sing. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with you and I'm going to pray over you. And we're going to declare by faith what God says. We're going to believe what God says. We're going to act on what God says. And everything he said over us, we say, will come to pass. I believe God. Come on, let's worship together. Great. Great is your faithfulness. Father, we come in your presence today. We raise a hallelujah in the presence of our enemy. Lord, we worship you today. Worship isn't a song. Worship isn't something you do on a weekend. Worship is what we exalt in our life. And we worship you. We don't worship what we feel. We don't worship what we see. We don't worship what we hear. We worship you. And we know because we walk with you, fear absolutely loses its hold on us, because heaven is not coming to fight for me. Heaven has already came and fought for me. Jesus has already died. He already conquered death. He's already seated us together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above all principality, all power, all might and dominion, and every single name that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. Nothing can stand in the presence of our God. Lord, as the world is driven by an unseen virus, we will be led by an unseen Father. A world driven to fear by a virus they cannot see. Panic. Desperation. We will walk with our God. We will walk in your wisdom, but we will walk in your power. And I declare over every person under the sound of my voice, Father, I speak life over them. I say that by faith, I declare, I believe God that it shall be even as it's told me in his word. I believe that I belong to my Father. I believe that I serve my God in all seasons. I believe that I serve him in the middle of the storm. I believe that my God is an ever-present help. Right now in times of trouble, he's not there to be with you as an observer or a spectator. Our God is there as an ever-present help in times of trouble. I declare over you that you walk with God by faith through Jesus Christ. I declare over you that you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You abide under the very shadow of the Almighty, that you are able to say of your God. Now listen, not what's happening around you, but you magnify and worship your God, and you say of your God, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is the one in whom I'll put my trust. Though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it shall not come near to me. No plague will come near my dwelling. Those are all scriptures with declarations over you, but you get the choice right now to believe God or to yield to fear. Paul stood aboard that ship with the storm unbroken. Listen, the angel didn't show up and the storm went away. The angel came and gave him a word. And the Bible tells us that the scripture itself is a more sure word from God than if an angel spoke to you. What will you do with what God says about you? That's not up to God right now, it's up to you. And I want to bless you and pray over you. And when we come together this Tuesday night at 6 to pray, this is how you want to live. And I believe with all my heart that you're not going to survive the storm. You're going to come out on the other side thriving. No matter what the circumstances, nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too difficult for our God. And I want to make certain for every one of us that are a part of this service that you have the opportunity to make the most important decision that you'll ever make while you live on this earth. What will you do with Jesus, the Savior? If you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Jesus said there's a heaven and Jesus said there's a hell. You might say, well, I don't believe in hell. I don't like hell. It doesn't change its reality. I don't like this crisis. It doesn't change the reality. When you die, you go to one or the other place. So I would never want to go to hell. You don't have to. God so loved you that he paid the debt that you couldn't pay. God is a righteous God and sin demands a judgment. And that sin judgment separated us from God forever. But God did something amazing, a love that our minds can never wrap around. He said, I judge you guilty, and then I will go and I will literally become born as a human in the earth through the womb of a virgin so that I can pour out my wrath and the consequence of your sin on me. And Jesus bore the entirety of the wrath of God that was due to the sin of man and the punishment that came with it. And then he offers to every person the free gift of eternal life by receiving the Son of God into their life, turning their life to him, living for him. and their sin debt canceled, and they become a child of God. Because when you die, you are either going to pay that debt on your own, separated from God forever, or you're going to have received the payment of a Savior. And I tell you, that's not up to God right now. That's up to you. What will you do right now with Jesus? Not religion, but the Son of God who lives forevermore. If you've never given your life to Christ, you've never received Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to pray for you right where you're at. All you have to do is to repeat this after me. It's not some dead religious prayer. You are inviting a living Christ into your broken life. And you know, He said in the scripture, He turns no one away. And He will come into your life. He will, your sin debt will be canceled. And by grace, the grace of God, by you now trusting Christ, you will have now heaven as your eternal home. As you turn from your ways and you turn to Him, He'll make you brand new. So if you desire to receive Christ with me today, please pray it right where you're at. Maybe if you just bow your heads, maybe you're together with some people so that no one feels awkward. But right where you're at, everybody in the room, even those who have already received Jesus, would you pray it out loud together so perhaps the person who really needs to do this feels like they can do it without being singled out? Because this is the most important decision you ever make. But if you want to receive Christ, do it right now and pray this together with us. And where you hear it, say, Heavenly Father, I come to you through Jesus Christ, and I believe with all of my heart that He died on a cross to bear my sin penalty and to bear my sin debt and to bear my sin. So I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you into my life now. I turn from my life. I turn from my sin, and I now look to you as my Savior. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for making me brand new. Thank you for canceling my sin debt. And I declare by faith that Jesus is the Lord of my life, and when I die, I am heaven bound. Amen. Amen. Wow, what an amazing decision you just made. The greatest decision you will ever, 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 ever make in your life. Before we go our way today, I want to encourage every one of you. You keep following through with all the resources that are available. You keep feeding on God's Word. You keep listening to the daily messages, because it will put a spirit of faith in you. For those of you who prayed with me, you keep connecting. I'm telling you, you can't imagine what God has for your future. It's an amazing God we serve. Before I pray and dismiss, you know, at Victory, we say this, we give as we go. And I want to encourage every one of you, as God has enabled you and in the spirit of faith, you continue to be a giver. And as we pray over your giving, as we pray over your lives, I'm trusting that God's going to do something incredible in your life. And I look forward to praying together with you all again on Tuesday night at 6. Let me pray over you, your family, our nation, our leaders. As Michelle and I, we love you and we want to believe God with you. Father, I thank you so much for every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you that you truly are an ever-present help in times of trouble. And Lord, we pray that you would give great wisdom to those in authority in all government structures. We pray for the medical profession, the doctors, the nurses, everybody in the hospital system that has to stay in the environment to serve people. We pray protection over them and strength and courage for them. Father, we pray today as we give that that's what love does. It doesn't ask permission of circumstances. And I speak that over all of our lives. And until we meet again to pray on Tuesday night, Lord, I thank you that you keep them. You give them grace and wisdom, that they walk in courage and faith, and that fear has no dominion over them. Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.